Welcome to the Self-Development Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Apodaca. You and I are often told to pursue our dreams. But what should you do if there is something preventing you from pursuing it at the present moment? What should you do when life puts your ambitions on hold? In this episode, I'm going to answer the question, what should I do if I can't pursue my goals yet? And first off, I think we should all just acknowledge that each one of us does, in fact, have a dream. I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you likely have a goal, an ambition, or a dream of some sort. And I think that's amazing. I genuinely would love to know what your dream is. Like, if I could sit down with every single person on this planet and talk to them and hear from their heart what it is that they love to do, what it is that gets them so excited, I find that so intriguing because you will find people who have the most bizarre passions, the most bizarre things that light them up from my perspective. You know, I have one personality, other people have totally different personalities, and what gets them excited is so interesting to me. And your dream might not even be this big picture dream, like, I want to devote my entire life to this one thing. You know, I think we have a problem in how we talk about dreams and passions and goals and ambitions, where we try to make it all so universal, where it is going to be the thing that encompasses the entirety of my life. I think we need to focus more on short-term and mid-term goals and aspirations, things like for the next 1 to 3 to 5 years, thinking in those chunks of time, saying, what do I want to try to do during this part of my life? I think that short-term dreams are a lot better. There's a lot of pressure in the long-term ones, and often what you want in the long run changes over time, like I know that it has for me. So everyone has some type of goal and dreams, and I want you to think of what yours is right now. And likely, there's a decent chance that you have made some attempts to go after that, but there's also a decent chance that you haven't yet. And so I want you to really think right now, like, what is the thing that I know that I want to be doing that I'm not? And if you've ever listened to a motivational speaker before, you would expect me at this point to just yell at you and say, well, then just do it. If you want it, yeah, it makes sense. You should just do it. And I get what they're saying. I agree with them even. There are so many people who are day in, day out doing jobs that they hate, and they're not doing a single thing about it. You need to put in work to either change your attitude about your current job or to just change your current job. Like, if that's where you're at, where every single day you go to a job you hate and you come home and all you want to do is escape from the reality of that day, then you have to go to sleep and wake up and do it again. I'm sorry. Like, that is an awful place to be. And I want you to believe that you can get out of it. Work is a big part of life. And I think you owe it to yourself to at least try to enjoy it. So again, a lot of people at this point would yell at you and say, well, just pursue your dream job, pursue your passion, do what makes you happy. And yet, for so many people, pursuing your dream just doesn't seem realistic. So, for example, think of a 14-year-old boy who is passionate about graphic design, but can't really just drop everything else and spend the entire day just doing graphic design. It's not realistic. He's still in school. Or instead of a 14-year-old boy, picture a 40-year-old single mom. Imagine that her passion is music, but she doesn't already have a career in it, and it would be irresponsible for her to just chase her dreams while she has several kids to take care of. Or if your dream is to be a counselor, you can't just open up shop and say on your Instagram profile that you're a certified counselor. Like, you'll get in trouble for that. You need the right credentials, the right certifications, and it's impossible to just begin doing it now. Like, you can't just do it. It takes a lot of steps to get there first. So the point is this. If you have a passion, you should go for it. But the problem is that for most of us, we can't. At least not right now. There are certain constraints beyond our control that are locking us in this present moment from our dreams. It's like we're on one side of the river and they're on the other side. And just right now, there's no realistic way to get to the other side. So what do you do? We seem to have reached an impasse. In the story of your life, you have a choice coming up. We are told that there is one road we can go down, and that we need to go down it now, or else we're being lazy and wasting our lives. And in a way, like, I totally feel that. There's a proverb in the book of Proverbs in the Bible that says that the complacency of fools will destroy them. Like, we don't want to be complacent, but for reasons beyond our control, sometimes we just can't go down the road right now. So what do? Well, imagine you're at this road, pictured as like a busy freeway, and imagine that three old men just pop up, and they're like these weird sage-like people from a book, and they start to give you advice. The first old man tells you to give up. He says you're too young. You simply can't do what you want right now. You need to leave this road of chasing your dreams and come back to it later. You have to first finish school, then finish college, then raise your family, then wait for your kids to move out, then wait till you're sure you're finally financially secure. Then you can come back to this road decades later. The second old man by the road has a crazed look on his face. He says that even though it seems impossible right now, you just need to go for it because there is nothing more important than your dreams, not your kids, not your health, not even your own sanity. You need to give it everything you've got, and you need to do it now, or else you are a total failure. The first old man, we could name him complacency. The second old man, we could name insanity. But we don't want to be complacent or insane. Is there a way that we can realistically make progress on our goals and not be complacent or insane? The third old man laughs at this point, and this laughter is a relief. The first man was so complacent that he hadn't laughed in years, and the second so tired that he only laughs in an insane evil scientist kind of way. But this third man is genuinely happy. He smiles and tells you a riddle. He says, "Turn your dream into a little slice of pie." Now, before I explain what the old man means by turning your dream into a little slice of pie, let me tell you my story. I have always been someone who is frankly too future-focused. I have a hard time enjoying what I'm currently doing because I'm always focused on what's next. When I was in high school, the only thing I wanted to do was go to college. When I was in college, surprise, surprise, the only thing I wanted to do was graduate so I could go to grad school and get my first non-entry-level job. And now that I'm in grad school, I'm thinking of PhDs. Like, it's ridiculous the way that our minds, at least my mind, works. But this story comes from a time that I was in college, pursuing my undergrad. I had this desire, like this passion at that time, to be in Christian ministry. And yet all I was doing was working at an old spaghetti factory and reading books and studying for exams. Now, if I had listened to the first old man's advice, I would have just said, well, I guess I just need to wait. But listen, when you really want something, and for me that was to teach from the Bible and help people know God better, it's really hard to just say, I'll wait till later. Like, this really mattered to me. Like, I couldn't just say, oh yeah, I'll spend 4 years ignoring my passion. I'll spend 4 years doing something other than what I want. I refused to think that life had to be that way. I knew that there had to be some other way around it. But I definitely couldn't take the second old man's piece of advice. I knew I would just stretch myself way too thin if I tried to just go full-on pastor mode right then and there, especially if I was trying to finish my degree while getting a job at a church, or if I dropped out. Like, there were no good options from the second old man's advice either. And I began to feel guilty during my time there. I felt like I wasn't doing anything truly meaningful because I wasn't contributing in any real way to other people's lives. I wasn't doing what I knew I wanted to do. And then one day, I can't remember what the context was. It might have been while talking to my friend. One day something dawned on me. And the way I worded it was something like this. I said, I might not have control over the proportions, but I can have anything be a part of my life. So I might not have control over the percentages, is another way to put it, but I can have anything be at least part of my life. I began to picture my life like a pie chart. So picture the circle and where they cut the circle up into different percentages. At that point in my life, school and serving at the old spaghetti factory and sleeping, I mean, it made up a solid 75% of my life. And that was kind of non-negotiable. I chose for those things to be in the pie chart of my life. And yet, just due to the very nature of those things, they blew themselves up to 75%. And that was kind of stuck. And those aren't necessarily bad things. Like, I love learning and studying and reading, so I'm fine that school was a part of the pie chart. But I was annoyed at times that it took up such a high percentage of the pie chart. But that's fine. I learned to accept the fact that I can't have complete control over the percentages of things that are part of my life. But I realized that I could add anything into that graph, even if it was just a little sliver. And the hope, of course, is that the section of your pie chart that is your passion will grow over time. So to make it concrete, while I was in college, I began to find little ways to do ministry activities throughout my week. I would volunteer in a Sunday school class, and I would lead small group Bible studies. And in reality, these things were very small. I was contributing and I was doing these things, but it wasn't like I was doing the best job in the world, and it wasn't like this was a giant part of my life. It was probably in like the 5% slice. They were on the schedule, though, and that's what's important. They were in the graph, and that's what was important. Why is that important? Because it allowed me to build momentum. I now am in full-time Christian ministry, and it didn't feel like this jarring transition because I was already doing these things in part, even if it was just a very small part, before I stepped into it in full. It was also important because doing that 5% gave so much more meaning to the rest of the 95%. Like, when there's, it's crazy to me. Someone could have their life like 95% how they want it, but if they don't have that 5% of actually doing what they want, of doing their passion, of doing what they love, then the rest of the 95% will really suffer. And I think this is a lot of the reason for why people are miserable at their jobs, is if they just learned how to get their fix for whatever their passion is, for whatever it is they want to do, I really think that would infuse so much meaning and joy into the rest of their lives. Because this goes back to something I said in the first podcast, that progress is one of the keys to happiness. And so what you want to do is get whatever it is that you're passionate about and start making progress in it, even if it's just a tiny slice of your life, a tiny portion of your time that you're able to devote to that thing. So let's return to the road now. Let's get back to those three old men. You are standing at the road. You have a passion in your chest that you know you must do, whether it's big or small. And this is the road, this is the freeway to get you to your dreams as quickly as possible. The one old man tells you to turn away, don't bother traveling, you're not ready yet. The second crazy old man tells you that if you don't start now, then you're a failure. If you don't jump on this freeway and drive as fast as you can, 80 miles per hour, then what are you even doing with your life? And the third old man tells you to turn your dream into a slice of pie. Just get your dream into the ebb and flow of your daily life. And at this point, the third old man pulls back a veil or something. He pulls something back. Use your imagination here. And behold, there is another road. It's not a super freeway. It's not fast. It's not flashy. It's a back road. But it will get you there. Travel the back road to your dreams and make sure you eat a lot of pie along the way. And that sounds silly, but I mean it. I think a lot of us, we don't end up doing what we're passionate about because we want to take the freeway, when really we should be taking the back road. And on the back road, our passion really is only just a small part of our daily life, but it is in there, and it can develop and grow over time. So what does this look like practically? Well, remember the 14-year-old kid who wants to be a graphic designer? It means for him that he learns to accept the fact that school is an obnoxiously large slice of the pie of his life. He can't control how big that percentage is right now. So what does he do? He lets go of the frustrations about that. Instead, he chooses to make sure that he's pouring into graphic design as much as he realistically can, given his current state of life. He turns his dream into a slice of the pie of his life. It's there, it's not big, but it's there. And it's building momentum. If for the next 4, 5, 6 years, he works on his hobby, his passion, he will soon be really proficient by the time he graduates high school. Or if you're the 40-year-old mom who loves music but has to work 2 jobs to care for her kids, don't worry about going fast right now. Don't get on the freeway. Take the back road. But begin. This is such a small difference between the first old man's piece of advice and the third. They both recognize that it's not the best time for a lot of people to begin pursuing something with full force. But the difference is that the third old man wants you to actually begin, even if it's just in a very small version. Don't let your dream disappear. Get it on the schedule. Get it on the pie chart of your life. Even if it's just a tiny sliver, make sure to take the time to keep the dream alive. Passions are a little bit like houseplants. If you don't take care of them, at least every now and then, they die. And there is nothing in this whole world that is sadder to me than someone who has let every single one of their houseplants die, who has let every single one of their dreams disappear. And you can see it in their eyes, just this look of defeat, where there used to be joy and optimism and hope for just this future worth living into. They now just are defeated. Don't let that happen to you. Even if you've only got this one little passion of like, okay, I guess this is a future I could try to live toward. Keep that thing alive, whatever it is. Don't let that die. So, as I said in my intro episode, I try the best that I can to keep things both motivational and practical. So here's the practical aspect. A lot of this has been highfalutin theory, but here's what I would like you to do. I want you to think of the kind of person you would want to be. Think of the kind of life you would want to live. So imagine a person who has the life that you want, and then imagine what that person's pie chart of their daily life would look like. Think of the five, six, seven things that that person would do every single day that you would want to do every single day. Now, so write those things down and notice the percentages also. For that person, this was a really bad idea for me to try to make up numbers and examples on the spot, so I'll just give a few. Imagine that person, they spend, 10% of their day working out, and they spend 20% writing, and they spend 10% traveling. Those are higher numbers than what you have right now, for example. Let's just say that. What you do next is you write those things down for yourself, and you don't hold a judgment over how high the percentage starts. A lot of those things, like writing, for example, that might just make up 1% of your life right now, and you want it to go up to 10 or 20 or 30. But right now, just be content with the fact that it's going to be at one, but get it onto the pie chart of your life. So seriously, I do this every now and then for myself. I think of what is it that I would like to be doing every single day and begin doing those things every single day, even if you can't spend all your time on them. So I genuinely hope this was helpful to you. Go eat some pie. See you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Self-Development Podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review and rating so others can find it as well.